Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Lucas McCurdy and Joshua Crisp, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by Marcentum.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas, the Senior Living podcast. This is a continuation of an amazing conversation that we're having with founder of Feet to the Fire Writing Workshops, Angela Burton. And we have a very, very distinguished special guest with us, a student, Patsy Hall. Welcome, Patsy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We're honored that you're here. And so, Angela, talk to us a little bit about, help us introduce Patsy, and how did you guys meet and how did this relationship get formed?
So Patsy was in a workshop that we had at Christian Care Communities, which is here in Louisville. And she showed up at the beginning one day. I think I came in and I just was pitching, because sometimes I have to pitch, like sell it to the people that are going to partake of it, because you can imagine, like you said, people are not necessarily just willing to do this, so there's a little coercion. But I went in, and Patsy was eyeing me really closely. I saw her across the table, and you know, I'm who I am, and I was explaining the program, and she said something that stopped me completely cold in my tracks. She asked me a question, which I'll let you explain. But it was a really valid question, and I did not have an answer. And so, ever being the teacher, I said, that's a good question, but I don't have the answer. I hope you'll continue and come back, and maybe we'll find out. So Patsy did continue, and not only did she continue, she wrote some amazing stories and is continuing to write those stories.
So, Patsy, what was that question that you asked Angela?
I asked her, I said, when you have loss, your heart loses its soul. And how do you get a purpose when you have no soul?
Wow. Wow.
Can you imagine getting that question?
I'm stunned right now. No, I couldn't.
That's what I asked her. And she said, I can't answer that, but we'll find the answer. And so we worked. And as she talked, I wrote down words, because I've been writing most of my life to friends and family in my church, and I had suddenly lost all the will to write for quite some time because of loss of my son, loss of my wonderful therapy doggy, a black lab, and then I had a heart attack, and that was loss of health. So as she talked, I wrote down words and hopefully captured my art of writing again.
That's
and I
beautiful.
Brought what I wrote that first day.
Amazing. So, Angela,
she's a gift. I tell you what, she surprised me. I didn't know she was doing that. Like, I thought she was just taking notes. But at the end, she said, I want to read you something I've written. And I'm like, wait, this is the woman that's not writing. And she read it to the group, and I thought, we're off to the races again. And then you came back, and every week you had something beautiful that you wrote. And we can't stop, right? That's the other part. Once you get started again, it's very hard to stop.
Through the years, family and friends have given me journals, you know, put your writings in a journal, you know, and I never did. So I have about, I think I counted 15 different journals. But under the bed, I have an under the bed full of letters and poetries and things that I have written through the years. Well, because of Angela, because of the Feet to the Fire, I'm now taking those little pieces of paper, sometimes napkins or matchbooks or whatever I wrote on, and putting them in the journal. So hopefully that will be a legacy for my great-grandchildren. My children have seen it all these years, but my great-grandchildren need to see it.
Absolutely. Well, that leads into another great question. Before we read your story, or you read your story, is that what's the feedback been, from Ms. Hall's family, but from other writers that you've worked with, just when you talk to their family members?
So the family members are always amazed, first of all, that it's funny. It's like, oh, wow, my mom can write or my dad can write. And I'm like, you know what? A lot of people can write. That's the thing. It's not like a weird club that you belong to where you have to be like William Faulkner or something like that. You just have to have the desire to express yourself. And that's the thing. That's the secret to all this. And so the family members appreciate the stories, obviously, but they're amazed because sometimes they get stories of things that they've never heard in their life. They you know, they may have been told stories, but they get a version written that they didn't even know existed.
Well, I was about to say that. So me at 38 years of age, I revealed my age, but I'm still learning things about my parents, and they're still relatively young, but you know, maybe it's things that, you know, I was too young to hear. Experiences they were sharing, or just things they had forgotten and now they remember and they're telling me. So what a blessing to be able to hear those stories. I'm fascinated. And I understand, Ms. Hall, you have actually kind of blessed us with bringing one of your stories, one of your many stories, and you might be willing to read that.
Yes.
And tell us about that story today. Is that cool?
Yes.
We'd love to hear it.
Well, about 3 days after the first class, and by the way, I have to say that at that class, I cried. And I don't cry very often, but I cried. And just a few days after that, I was asked to be guest speaker at the volunteer dinner for our auxiliary, which I've been a member of for 10 years. I thought about the words that I jotted down on a piece of paper at that class, and I expanded on them, and this is what I wrote. All of us, sometime in our life, have experienced a loss. A loved one, a cherished pet, or even our health. When that happens, our heart loses soul. Without soul, your mind no longer functions. You eat, sleep, work and pray, greet and smile. But the shell of you covers an empty space that has no purpose. How do you recapture your soul? How do you fill your mind with hope? How do you fill your heart with love? You volunteer. Today, we show our gratitude to all of you. You have filled the hearts of many. You have given hope for a new day. You have covered their space with love. So, what must we do to seek and find joy in our heart, peace in our mind? How can we know what we are supposed to be? How can we tell what's expected of me? Where can we go when errors we've made, when judgment is clouded and our dreams all fade? Be just, give love, walk tall and proud. Be your own person, don't follow the crowd. But most of all, come what may, have a heart full of hope, then give it away. Thank you for giving hope, for sharing your heart with love to so many for so many, many years. God bless and always love.
That's it. Wow.
That's it.
That is beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
I had not written for a long time until I met Angela. So her program is one that is so special and so needed for seniors. You know, grandchildren will say, I'm going to visit Grandma. She's old. They don't say she's neat or she's cool or she's great. She's old. So with this program, they can know who their grandparents are.
Amazing.
It is amazing. So, you know, what you just read is timeless, and it spreads through the generations. It's so relevant. I was just sitting there thinking in my own life, no matter who you are, if you've lived on this earth for any length of time, you've experienced hurt, loss. And so taking that encouragement from the years of experience and wisdom that you have and passing that to not only your family, but to the generations, that's awesome. So thank you for sharing that with us.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
And so, Angela, I'm not normally speechless. My mind is spinning right now. There's a lot of emotions. So it's a very unique experience for us recording this. Right now, we're living this kind of emotional output of emotive writing, of telling your story. Is the outcome in general for most of your students similar to this, where they're able to open up and say things and reveal their hearts and retrospect?
It is. And I think that's the beauty of writing, because writing is such an amazing tool to be able to express yourself. If you've got something weighing on your head or your heart, you know, your mind, and you start to put pen to paper and you just one sentence at a time, you know, and if you have a prompt, it's a little bit easier because you're like, I'm trying to understand, make sense of that prompt. And then you write this thing down, whatever this thing is, suddenly you've released it. And it is very, very therapeutic in that way. I think it's interesting that studies are coming out right now about the cognitive benefits of expressive writing. There was just one that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And I'm like, this is so simple. We get it. I get it. I've been getting it for years as a teacher, as a writer myself. And anybody that actually partakes in this, I don't even want to call it an activity because it goes beyond an activity, but this process, it's really important because it literally helps you think your way through things and make sense of things. It's amazing.
So, Ms. Hall, I think we could probably summarize just from what you've told us, but in your own words, what has this program meant to you? Because it seems like you were very much questioning it. You've written this story that you shared with us now, many more that our audience doesn't have time to partake in this short show that we have, but what, how's it changed your outlook and maybe what has it meant to you?
What it's meant to me is to give me purpose again. And that's what Feet to the Fire is to give you purpose. And when you lose something, it's really hard to regain that loss, and you can't regain that loss. You have to go on and get another purpose and another reason to keep on. Life happens between a wink and a blink. And you've got to keep on going. You have to, as my dad would say, suck it up, honey, and go on.
Well, what a special experience that this has been. Angela, thank you so much. And Miss Patsy, thank you so much. You look beautiful in blue, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and your stories and the time that you've shared with us has greatly impacted me, and I know our here at Bridge the Gap and our audience that are listening, this will be recorded and be able to share forever. And so your stories and your impact will impact a lot more people than you'll ever know. So thank you for being willing to open up and share.
You're welcome. And we need to keep Angela out there everywhere.
Well, I think a lot of people agree. And so thank you for this time together. It's been a wonderful experience. And it doesn't end here because we're going to go on to some more stories here on Bridge the Gap. So Bridge the Gap, we're back, and this is a very important episode, a very important part of the platform of Bridge the Gap is that in Bridging the Gap, we seek to inform, educate, and influence everybody that's involved in senior living in this market space. And so one of the beautiful things about the industry are the people and their lives and their stories. Right, Josh?
You're exactly right, Lucas. I've been in this business, this industry, as we say, serving older adults, serving team members for now over 13 years. And the beautiful thing about it is, yes, oftentimes part of our work is healthcare, part of it is hospitality, but we are engaging with other humans. And the love stories of what I refer to love stories that are created is something that needs to be told. And so today on our episode, it's really exciting that some of these love stories, maybe we're going to get to hear.
Yeah. And so we're back with Angela and then our esteemed guest, Dan Bauer, not to be confused with Jack Bauer, the rebel world saver. We have our esteemed guest, Dan Bauer. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir. Believe it or not, I've never watched 24, but my nephews have, so they're all into it. But anyway.
We'll take your word for it.
Yes, sir.
And so Dan is a student of yours, Angela. So how did you guys meet?
So I went to Christian Care Communities, which is a senior care community here in Louisville, and met Dan and other individuals in a writing workshop. They had gathered to come and hear what Feet to the Fire was all about, and never had met these people in my life, and they'd never met me. And I was taken by Dan because, for lots of reasons, Dan and I share a love for music. And so a lot of times the things that Dan would write would get prefaced by a particular song, which would flip me back in my memory, you know, my old memory. and which is something that I meant to mention is sometimes, oftentimes, people trigger each other in their memories. So, you know, somebody could read a story that they've written and five other people are like, oh, I remember that, you know, and then your memory gets triggered. And it's a wonderful tool to reawaken memory. So, but I met Dan in the writing workshop.
Wonderful. And so, Dan, talk to us a little bit about your experience of meeting Angela and what were you thinking going into the workshop?
Going into the workshop, I was like, well, this is the second workshop I've been in. The first one had to do with our the campus activity director. She had worked at another facility for several years, and she had started this Feet to the Fire workshop, or a workshop in the other senior care facility where she worked, and that's where she got the idea. The idea for this concept, the idea for this project, was germinated there. So then Jackie came to us, and about maybe eight or nine of us got involved in the class, and I kind of knew what to expect because I've been writing like Mrs. Hall, Patsy. I've been writing since I was about 15 or 16, and I started when I was in high school, and then I took a few years off, and then I saw an article in the Courier Journal about the positive effects, whatever the positives of journaling. So I decided to get back into it, and I've been pretty much on and off ever since.
Amazing.
Amazing.
And so in that process of you guys coming together and putting on this workshop, your student Dan here is now on our show. And so what made Dan stand out that out of all the people that you've met, what do you think has been unique to forming that relationship?
Well, so the thing that I'm always amazed about when I hear people write their story, or I listen to the stories that they write, and I watch them go through the Feet to the Fire program, is it's amazing to me, A, how vulnerable people are. And vulnerability is a very much a strength, you know? I mean, people want to look at it the other way around, but it's really, no, it's bravery. It's vulnerability is bravery. And honesty. People are so incredibly honest when they write these stories that it shines, it comes across. And I think when you are able to be honest and you're able to give that part of yourself to a group, it's magic. It's really special. And Dan was really willing to be honest when he wrote his stories. You know, he put it out there and he'd say, hey, you know, I'm going to read you this. And we have a kind of a joke, you know, in Feet to the Fire that, you know, you can't beat yourself up before you share your story. In other words, the punitive preamble, we call it. So because we like to do that as human beings, we like to like be really critical of ourselves before we even give ourselves a chance. So I think Dan was especially good at not doing that. He's like, I'm just going to read it. You know, I'm just going to say what I have to say. I'm going to get it out there. So I appreciated that in you. And I thought that was special about you.
Thank you.
So it sounds like today we might be hearing some unfiltered stories from Dan. Is that right?
No. I mean, yes, in a manner of speaking.
That's all. You
do not want to unfilter me. I'll just leave that alone, but you do not want to unfilter me.
Well, super excited. So it sounds like, you know, as we've talked...
I'm an outspoken person.
Exactly. So it sounds like you came into this with a complete open mind, kind of an experienced journal writer, and you were encouraged and wanting to do this. So the transition to begin writing and working through these workshops was a positive experience for you.
Absolutely.
Fascinating.
So,
absolutely.
Dan, are you ready to share with our audience and with us your story?
Yes, I am.
Please do.
August of 1968. I remember the summer of 1968 with a mixture of enjoyment and fear of the unknown. The setting was my grandmother's kitchen. Ah, the fragrances of strawberry pie, apple strudel with fresh dough, stretched out and rolled on the kitchen table. I loved it. Rewind to the middle of June when my mom, ever the mistress of surprise, springs on me that I'm about to spend a week at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City. My grandparents lived in Southampton, Long Island, 2 hours distant from the city. I was a frightened 9-year-old, and the thought of spending a week in the hospital did not thrill me. I was in for a hamstring lengthening. The hospital stay was necessary, and the surgery went fine. My rehabilitation was slow because I had to first learn to walk with a walking cast. Second, I had to practice walking, of course, with a chair for support. And there was a tremendous lack of motivation on my part. Until, my mom said, "Look, Dan, if you don't start walking, you can't go to George's wedding." Then she left for the rehearsal dinner in Newark. The next day, the pressure was off, and I walked across Nan and Pop's kitchen on my crutches, and then we left for the wedding. So, once again, my grandparents stepped up, and this story has a happy ending. We all attended the wedding and had a great time.
I didn't want it to end.
there's more. Not with this particular story, but there's more.
I bet. Yes. So, Angela, I mean, Josh and I are experiencing this in real life, in real time right now. And even with you preparing us, it's really impossible to be prepared for this type of stuff. And Dan, do you have more that you'd like to share?
Yes.
Okay. I see, for those that are listening, Dan is flipping through his notebook right now, and I'm seeing pages upon pages upon pages.
Yeah, it's an extensive piece of writing, for sure.
While he's flipping, there's a really important aspect to writing by hand, and not everybody can do that because depending on, you know, if you have Parkinson's, if you have any kind of neurological deficits, it's tricky. But I encourage it if it's possible, because there is a brain-hand connection when you write by hand that's very, very good. That's a good thing. Yeah. Typing is good. You know, it works in a pinch, but writing by hand is amazing.
It's also very cathartic.
Okay.
Cathartic, yep.
And your handwriting is amazing, and Patsy's handwriting was amazing and is amazing.
Yes, I have to thank you for both of us. I have to thank my grandmother for that, because she, when I was about maybe 3 or 4 years old, she started working with me with a method called Palmer. And the method that she used, you can either draw circles on a piece of paper and keep doing it. Think Mr. Miyagi in the Karate Kid. Right on, that. Yes. So she was working with me with that, and that's how my handwriting came to be.
So you have another story for us.
Yes, sir. The long and winding road. Abby, to your door. Cut to. It's June 1977. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and this writer is listening to Jackson Browne's Running on Empty on his brand new stereo system, his pride and joy. I'm also preparing to graduate from high school. I was really stoked to begin a new chapter of my life in Lexington, Kentucky, at Cardinal Hill Hospital, where the disabled students lived. My parents and I made the 90-minute trek up the Bluegrass Parkway to my new dorm, quote, and digs. And I was nervous, and I was as nervous as a new first grader. We arrived to Alice Cooper blasting out of an unoccupied room, but tuned full blast. And I thought, I can do this. Oh boy, I can do this. I mostly got along fine until Norv Costanza said to me, he was the dorm supervisor, Reed, R.A., Dan, we're expecting big things from you in an academic sense. Hell, I didn't even know what I was doing. Literally. It worked out okay, though, and I got to pour beer and flick Bic lighters at our local Pizza Hut. I was the only guy in the crew with workable hands. I learned firsthand how guys and gals with high spinal cord injuries navigated through life. Later, I figured out by trial and error how to drive a manual wheelchair through snow. I did it without benefit of a team of Huskies. I did it with gloves, a down jacket, and treaded tires on the chair, and brute strength. I came back to Elizabethtown and attended Elizabethtown Vocational School, earning my business and office degree, and parlaying that into my prison employment as the mailman on wheels at Jewish Hospital Kentucky One Health, downtown campus, where I've been working for almost 31 years.
Wow, that's fascinating. So a couple of things I just wanted, I'm not even sure how to communicate to you this, but I find it very interesting. I'm assuming, and I'm going to ask you a question, you wrote this recently talking about a time in your past, or was this an older writing?
Recently, I wrote this about maybe 4 weeks ago.
Well, it's fascinating to me. You know, obviously, these are very vivid memories and stories from your life, but you're actually taking us there. The way that you're describing the stories, I can almost smell the sounds. I hear the birds. So
you hear Jackson Brown.
I hear Jackson Brown. So, you know, just kudos to you. What an excellent skill set in writing to be able to literally kind of transcend you know, this room, and you kind of took us into that story. So what a wonderful talent you have. That's fascinating.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I forgot that we were doing a podcast during that time. I want more. And so, Dan, that's a very special gift that you have that we are so blessed that you've shared with us. And so, Angela, I'm looking at you right now because we're going to hold your feet to the fire to start your own podcast, because these are stories that I think that would benefit so many other people. And it's just benefited us so great. What an amazing experience for you to pull back the veil of your life and share these experiences. So, Angela, I can tell why you love doing this so much.
It's necessary. As far as I'm concerned, everybody that wants to do this should be able to have the access to do this. You, everybody. I mean, we all have stories. We have memories. Somebody said to me the other day, we have memories until we don't. And I said, wow, that's so true. And it doesn't take a lot sometimes to access those memories. It takes a word. It takes a phrase. It takes a prompt. And it takes other people willing to share them with you and listen and care.
So, Angela, this is much needed in our industry. The tools that you're giving, you've talked to us even in previous times about how you're equipping the industry and communities that want to have a program like this, not only to just be able to bring you in or some of your team, but you're actually equipping them. Tell our listeners, if they want to get a program like this started, to simply facilitate these great riders telling their stories that need to be told, how do they reach you and how do they facilitate that?
So any care community that wants to have this program can contact me at feettothefirewriters.com. There's an easy way to navigate that. I will then get into a conversation with them about how they can bring the program to their community. So the solution is out of the box. It's the guide is written week by week by week. You could learn how to do this.
Even me?
Even you.
Oh, wow.
And then there's all these cool prompts that have been developed and they're licensed and ready to use. How about that? And so it's literally, if people are wanting this, if communities care about this, and I think that they all should care about this, frankly, not to compete with bingo, but this is really important.
Well, so it is very innovative, which is one of the reasons that we're here today at the Thrive Center, innovation mecca that you're featured, and you know, our viewers that are watching us maybe on YouTube, they can see that you're featured right here behind us. So what an exciting, awesome opportunity to have them on our podcast, Lucas.
Absolutely. So to our listeners, we're very, very grateful that you've joined in on this very special episode of Bridge the Gap, where we've been able to bridge the gap, not only from a business aspect, to actually go into the real lives of the human beings and the people that are living inside these communities. And what a special moment that we've had to share together with both Patsy, who's sitting just off set here, and with Dan. Thank you guys both so very much for sharing with us. And we will connect to Angela and her writing workshop in the show notes. Thank you for listening to Bridge the Gap.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
Awesome job, everybody.
That's good.